Part 3. The Success of Redemption from the Time of Constantine to the Rise of Antichrist. I am now to show how the success of Christ's redemption is carried on from the overthrow of the heathen Roman Empire in the time of Constantine the Great till the rise of Antichrist. And in order to a more clear view of the great works of God in accomplishing the success of Christ's redemption, and our seeing the glory of them, it will be necessary, as in the foregoing periods, to consider not only the success itself, but the opposition made to it. 1. The opposition. Satan, the great red dragon, after so sore a conflict with Michael and his angels for the greater part of 300 years, was at last entirely rooted and vanquished, so that he was cast down, as it were, from heaven to the earth. Yet he does not give over his opposition to the woman, the Church of Christ, concerning which all this conflict had been, but is still in a rage, renews his attempts, and has recourse to new devices against the Church. The serpent, after he is cast out of heaven to the earth, casts out of his mouth water as a flood, to cause the woman to be carried away of the flood. The opposition that he made to the Church of Christ before the rise of Antichrist was principally of two sorts. It was either by corrupting the Church of Christ with heresies, or by new endeavors to restore paganism. 1. After the destruction of the heathen Roman Empire, Satan infested the Church with heresies. Though there had been so glorious a work of God in delivering the Church from her heathen persecutors, and overthrowing the heathen empire, yet the days of the Church's travail not being ended, and the set time of her prosperity not being yet come, as being what was to succeed the fall of Antichrist, therefore the peace and prosperity which the Church enjoyed in Constantine's time was but very short. It was a respite, which gave the Church a time of peace and silence, as it were, for half an hour, wherein the four angels held the four winds from blowing till the servants of God should be sealed in their foreheads. But the Church soon began to be greatly infested with heresies. The two principal, and those which did most infest the Church, were the Arian and Pelagian. The Arians began soon after Constantine came to the throne. They denied the doctrine of the Trinity, the divinity of Christ and the Holy Ghost, and maintained that they were but mere creatures. This heresy increased more and more in the Church, and prevailed like a flood which threatened to overthrow all, and entirely to carry away the Church, in summit that before the close of the 4th century, the greater part of the Christian Church were become Arians. Some emperors, the successors of Constantine, were Arians. So that being the prevailing party, and having the civil authority on their side, they raised a great persecution against the true Church of Christ. So that this heresy might well be compared to a flood out of the mouth of the serpent, which threatened to overthrow all, and quite carry away the woman. The Pelagian heresy arose in the beginning of the next century. It began by one Pelagius, who was born in Britain. His British name was Morgan. He denied original sin and the influence of the Spirit of God in conversion, and held the power of free will, and many other things of like tendency. And this heresy did for a while greatly infest the Church. Pelagius's principal antagonist, who wrote in defense of the Orthodox faith, was Saint Augustine. 2. The other kind of opposition which Satan made against the Church was in his endeavors to restore paganism. His first attempt was by Julian the Apostate. Julian was nephew to Constantine the Great. When Constantine died, he left his empire to 3 sons. And after their death, Julian the Apostate reigned in their stead. He had been a professed Christian. But he fell from Christianity, and turned pagan. And therefore is called the Apostate. When he came to the throne, he used his utmost endeavors to overthrow the Christian Church, and set up paganism again in the empire. He put down the Christian magistrates, and set up heathens in their room. He rebuilt the heathen temples, set up the heathen worship, and became a most notorious persecutor of the Christians. He used to call Christ, by way of reproach, the Galilean. He was killed with a lance in his wars with the Persians. When he saw that he was mortally wounded, he took a handful of his blood, and threw it up towards heaven, crying out, "Thou hast overcome, O Galilean!" He is commonly thought by divines to have committed the unpardonable sin. Another way that Satan attempted to restore paganism in the Roman Empire was by the invasions and conquest of heathen nations, For in the space of time, the Goths and Vandals, and other barbarous nations from the north, invaded the empire, and obtained great conquests. They even overran the empire, and in the 5th century took the city of Rome, and finally conquered and took possession of the western half of the empire, and divided it amongst them. It was divided into 10 kingdoms, with which began the 10 horns of the beast. For we are told that the 10 horns are 10 kings, who should rise in the latter part of the Roman Empire. These are also represented by the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's image. The invasion and conquest of these heathen nations are supposed to be foretold in the 8th chapter of Revelation, in what came to pass under the sounding of the 4 first trumpets. Now by their means heathenism was again for a while restored after it had been rooted out. So much for the opposition of Satan against the success of the gospel during this space before the rise of Antichrist. I proceed. 2. To show what success there was of the gospel in this space, notwithstanding this opposition. 1. I would observe that the opposition of Satan in those things was baffled. Though the dragon cast out of his mouth such a flood after the woman to carry her away, yet he could not obtain this design. But the earth helped the woman, and opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. These heresies, which for a while so much prevailed, after a while dwindled away, and orthodoxy was again restored. 2. The gospel, during the space of time, was further propagated amongst many barbarous nations in the confines of the Roman Empire. In the time of Constantine there was a considerable propagation of the gospel in the East Indies, chiefly by the ministry of one Frumentius. Great numbers of the Iberians were converted to Christianity by a Christian woman of eminent piety, whom they had taken captive. And some account is given of several other barbarous nations who were not within the Roman Empire, that great numbers of them were brought to receive the gospel by the teaching and example of captives whom they had taken in war. About the year of Christ 372, the gospel was propagated among the barbarous inhabitants of Arabia, and among some of the northern nations. Particularly, a prince of the Goths about this time became Christian, and a great number of his people with him. Towards the latter end of the century, the gospel was also further propagated among the Persians, and also the Scythians, a barbarous people, whom the apostle mentions, Colossians 3:11. Barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. And after this, about the year 430, there was a remarkable conversion of the Burgundians to the Christian faith. Now the gospel began to be propagated in Ireland. And the Irish, who till now had been heathen, began to receive the Christian faith. About the same time it was further propagated among some barbarous people in Scotland, and in some other places. In the next century, Zathus, a heathen king, who ruled over the Colchians, was brought to renounce his heathenism, and to embrace the Christian religion. Several other barbarous nations are recorded to have renounced heathenism and embraced Christianity about this time, that I cannot stand to mention. Thus I have briefly considered the principal events of Providence which concern the success of the gospel of Christ from Constantine to the rise of Antichrist.